Your king comes to you. In Christmas, there is a clear connection between kings and shepherds. Both the shepherds from the lowest social status, the lowest social class of their day, and kings from the highest, both come to worship. I don't know if you've ever wondered, why did God reveal the message of Christmas with miraculous power to kings and shepherds? A great light that shone. To shepherds, the angelic voices singing and brightness that filled the sky. To kings, a miraculous star that led them right to the very place where he was born. Well, this morning I want to invite you to do the same. To come and worship. Worship him who is born, the King of the Jews. Will you pray with me, and then we'll look at God's word together. Kind Father, we come to you. And just like these kings who said, we have come to worship him who was born King of the Jews. Father, I pray that you will give us fresh eyes to see this Christmas. Would you open our ears to hear and our minds to believe and our wills to walk in this truth that your Spirit will teach us today? Father, draw us to worship. And in the name of our King, our Savior and Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even though this morning we are continuing on in our study of Matthew's Gospel at Christmas, it's Matthew chapter 2, I want to begin in Luke chapter 2. We're going to come back to Matthew, that's our primary passage, but I want to begin in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn there. I want you to read it with your own eyes. If you don't have a Bible, you can use a pew Bible in front of you. We're only going to read a few of the verses from Luke chapter 2. Verse 8 and on for a bit, and then we'll come back to Matthew 2 after that. So hear God's word. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke 2, verse 8, 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see these things that have happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Now over to Matthew chapter 2. We're looking at the first 12 verses. Matthew 2 is on page 960 of our pew Bibles. I want to give you a moment to get there. I think it's important we read it from God's word. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their gifts, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. These verses in Matthew tell us the story of wise men who came to worship the baby Jesus in the manger. Now, if you have a reference Bible, you can see that in verse 1, where it says wise men, there's a little superscript, a little 1 or an A. You follow it along, and it'll take you down to the bottom. It will tell you that it's magi. It's this idea of magistrates, people who are in charge or representative of a king. Now, it actually could be that they were there on behalf of the king. We're not told a lot about these magistrates, magi, except that they brought gifts that were really fit only for a king. And likely they were so extravagant that they are probably gifts that could only be given by a king. So whether they are kings or they represent a king, they brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, a kingly offering. Wealth of the nations. Remember what happened to Solomon. They would all bring gifts of gold to Solomon. That's what you did. You would make these alliances and bribe them with gold. But you would bring a king gold. And incense. Frankincense was what you would use in the temple to worship your deity. It was recognition of this worship of God. And myrrh, the embalming spice of death and sacrifice. Amazing that they brought these gifts. We don't know a lot about them. Either they represented a king or they were kings themselves. In fact, some historians, it's hard to argue this case, but some do believe they were kings. And that just like these kingly alliances of the day, they came from different countries. And that's why they simply just said, you know, they were from the east, because it covered a number of countries that had joined together to come and to worship. That was their intention from the very beginning. They said it. Where is he? We've come to worship. It was their purpose. I think they were kings. If you turn with me to the book of Isaiah, turn to Isaiah chapter 60. I want you to read this again. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3, it's on page 736 of the Pew Bibles. I want you to read this with your own eyes. Here's the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3. Now, it is applying in a broad sense to all of Israel, but in a specific sense to the Redeemer. Listen to Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. It is the Lord who is coming. Now, in the context of Isaiah 60, look back at chapter 59, verse 20. And a redeemer will come to Zion. The context of Isaiah's prophecy is that it is when the Redeemer, when the Lord comes, that light will come. Now we know this from the rest of Isaiah in his prophecies. But what happens when the Lord arises in verse 2? His glory will be seen by you in verse 3. The nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. This prophecy that the nations of the world will come to see this light when the Redeemer, the Messiah, comes. And you say, well, yeah, but that could be seen in a bigger sense. And it is understood that the light that is to the Gentiles would be revealed in the Messiah. But look down, keep going in Isaiah 60, verse 4. They will come together. Then you will see the radiance in verse 5. In verse 6, a multitude of camels will come from Midian, Ephah, and Sheba. And they will bring gold and frankincense and good news and praises of the Lord. Whether these are kings or not, the powerful prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. They are coming to worship the king in this passage. They understood that he was born the king. I think Matthew wants us to understand this. Go back to Matthew. Matthew seems to be putting against each other King Herod. He repeats it a number of times in the passage, in verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 3. He really wants us to know that Herod is the king of the day. And yet, Jesus was born king. This is Herod the Great. He died shortly after Jesus' birth. You can follow that down in the verses we did not read. In verse 15, in the short time where Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Egypt to escape his death, in verse 15, they remained there until the death of Herod, which history tells us is around 4 BC. He was coming to the end of his life. But Herod was everything but great. He was grossly immoral. He had 10 wives, 2 of which were his nieces. He had affairs with his eunuchs. He destroyed life at a whim. He was the first of 7 Herods that cast the same dark shadow across the New Testament, known mostly for his attempt to destroy Christians, for their attempt to destroy Christians. And understanding Herod's life, we better understand his reluctance to accept a child king. I think Matthew wants us to see this. In fact, history tells us that Herod the Great appeared before the Roman Senate, and he was given the title, the King of the Jews. He was a king over Judea. So can you imagine when these representatives of kings from the east come and they say, where's the one who was born the king of the Jews? It was an affront to Herod. This is at the end of his life. He's suspicious of his own family. He murdered a number of his sons. In fact, Caesar Augustus actually said, because Herod was sympathetic to the Jews, it was better to be his pig than his child. This paranoid king of the Jews, Herod the Great, heard the news that other kings had come to worship and they were searching for the king of Israel. They'd seen his stars, this supernatural sign, and history tells us that Herod understood this. Look what happens in verse 2. They come and they say, where's the one who's born king of the Jews? We've seen his star. We've come to worship him. And when Herod the king, in verse 3, heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Remember last week we talked about Christ? It's this simple word, Christos. It means anointed one, and they would anoint kings and priests. And Jesus was recognized as the Messiah. He was the Christ, the Messiah. And Herod understood this. He used this Jewish understanding. He didn't say the one who was born king. He said, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? He knows that according to the Jewish heart, they are looking for national deliverance from Roman rule, everything that Herod stood for. He gained the favor of the Jewish nation by rebuilding their temple, by making all this religious bargaining. But now there's no alternative. If the Messiah has come, he is an absolute threat to this pretender king, because the King of Kings is born. And so in Christmas, we have these representatives or possible kings from the east who come, the nations that will come to the light, the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, and they pass over the king in Jerusalem. And then I read on in Matthew chapter 2 this week as I was studying it, and you can follow through, and they tell them, the chief priests and the scribes, those who are actually supposed to be the spiritual shepherds of Israel. They're supposed to shepherd God's people. And the indictment of the prophet Ezekiel and Jeremiah say the same thing. They are false shepherds because they are not feeding my people. And these scribes and chief priests and spiritual shepherds that they should have been, they tell them, oh, according to the prophet Micah in verse 6, he is to be born in Bethlehem. And listen to these words. In the land of Judah, you are by no means least of the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler, a king who will what? Shepherd my people Israel. And all of a sudden we see this connection. Why would God reveal to shepherds and to kings with miraculous signs? Because the King of Kings, the King Shepherd, Jesus, beyond them all, is revealed as a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. You know what is amazing to me this week as I began to think about this? There's three things. Both the kings and the shepherds did three things. They believed the message that was told them. They were seeking him, and they worshiped him. Those same three actions apply to us this Christmas. You hear the stories in the scripture. You hear it in the malls. You hear the worship in the Christmas carols all around us. Do you believe in him? Do you believe the message that was told you? And the evidence of whether you believe it or not is if you will seek him. No one can come unless the Father draws. The message of believing the truth that is declared to you from God's word over all these 3 weeks in Matthew, from the genealogy of those that needed redemption to the naming of this Christ child, his name is Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. The evidence that you believe is that you will seek him. And when you seek him and find him, you will worship him. The kings believed. They made this long journey. We don't know how long it is. We can presume from verse 7. When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and found out at what time the star appeared. And later, he tells them in verse 8, go search diligently for the child that I may too come worship. We know that his intention is not worship. He says, go search and I will worship. Go down to verse 13. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says, I'll tell you what Herod is doing. Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Herod knew about the Messiah. Herod sought him to destroy him. The kings from the east, they came, they made this journey. It may have been a year, and then Herod just covered all his bases and said, every child from 2 years and under. We don't know. The passage doesn't tell us. But these kings that came, or representatives, or countries that brought gifts fit for a king, they truly believed that a king was born. What is their question? Where is he who has been born, the king of the Jews? They were fully convinced, and they were ready to bring offerings to this king. But not only did they believe, they sought him. And their intention from the beginning was to worship. And Jesus is way more than the king of the Jews, isn't he? That's why Isaiah the prophet said the nations will come. The shepherds did the same. Let us go see what's been told us. They believed the message of the angels. And they went at once. It says immediately they went to see if it was true. This miraculous birth and the signs they were given. This Christmas, I invite you to do the same. If you are here this morning because your family and friends forced you to come to church because it's Christmas, we all know how it works. Then feel the kindness of God this morning, inviting you to come, to believe the impossible, that you can be forgiven of your sins and given a fresh start, a new beginning. Last Sunday, the angel said to Joseph, his name is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, remember the name Joshua, God is salvation. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Believe and seek him. There is this wonderful verse in Jeremiah 29. And it's God speaking to Israel through the prophet. And though it is specific to Israel, I think the message is clear to every one of us here this morning. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And when you do, worship. Look at verse 11. If these were kings, the humility of falling down before a baby, giving gifts at great cost. And the shepherds from Luke, the very same thing the angels said. Did you ever notice they said the very same things? It says the shepherds were praising and glorifying God. The shepherds, and just before it, the angels were praising God and saying, glory in the highest. King Herod and the spiritual leaders of the day did not worship. These kings are representative of kings, all the nations who came, and the shepherds. They believed, they sought him, and they worshiped him. This is where we change the final song. This is a call to worship. That today and tomorrow and on Christmas morning, that you would wake up and your heart would be called to worship the King of Kings, who will care and shepherd his people. Three simple questions. Will you believe what the Bible reveals about Jesus? Will you seek him to know him? And will you join us in worship? Let's stand as I close our service in prayer. Kind Father, we come to you again just like we did at the very beginning of this sermon. We simply confess that we have come to worship. In your mercy, will you give us fresh eyes to see and open our ears to hear, give us minds to believe and wills to walk in this truth that your Spirit will teach us today. You are the author. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Father, produce faith in your people. Call us to seek you and hear our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.